Welcome back to American Journal. Coming up this hour, we have a great guest for you. His name is Douglas O'Connell. He's a defense attorney, and he is a retired Special Forces colonel. More Green Berets. You can get your I don't know, all you can eat of Green Berets going off on a corrupt district attorney today. Also coming up in the next hour, we got Brianna. She's currently racing into the studio with Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson. They were over at Perry's party last night when they ended up having that incident of the man with the gun that ended up getting arrested. I believe he had a gun, but she's racing in the studio on a flat tire. I told her she better stop. Put some air in that sucker so it doesn't pop. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you guys Doug O'Connell, defense attorney, retired colonel, U.S. Army Green Berets. Doug, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, sir. I appreciate you coming up. You know, I was doing a lot of, you know, background on this last night. I couldn't help but notice that you've been really involved with this district attorney.
I have. We have a reputation of pushing back against him.
How many officers have you defended against this district attorney over the last several years?
You know, I should know that number. Probably upwards of 25 to 30.
That is insane. And out of those 25 to 30, how many did he actually secure convictions against? Just a rough estimate.
Only one. He was able to get a conviction on the Chris Taylor case. However, the Court of Appeals reversed that conviction and rendered an acquittal. And so that conviction did not stick.
Right. And so I was just going over that with everybody on the show, and I ended up showing him the body cam footage of that particular incident. And if I remember right, the Court of Appeals actually said that there was zero grounds whatsoever for them to actually have those charges pressed in the first place.
Exactly. That's absolutely correct. And when we get around to when we talk about problems with this DA and the grand jury, that's a perfect example of why we're so concerned when he wants to present cases for every officer to the grand jury.
Now you came out and you made that tweet yesterday over on Twitter, and it went mad. It got like 2.something million views instantly. And I think that actually forced the DA back on his heels a little bit, to where he decided to come out and say, oh, no, these officers are heroes. We would never consider sending them to a grand jury. That to me sounds asinine. Based on his track record, it sounds perfectly reasonable that the officers would be in fear that they're going to get taken to a grand jury, even over shooting Islamic jihadists that shot up an entire bar district.
Exactly. And, you know, Matt, you can probably appreciate this because of our shared background, but, you know, we were trained and indoctrinated in the military and special operations to think of shaping the battlefield and information operations and spoiling attacks, all these sorts of things. And, you know, we try to employ that in every case. And yesterday's media that we generated, is an example of that.
Yeah. And I think you did a fabulous job getting that out there, because I think if you hadn't done that, most certainly based on this man's track record, not only would they face a grand jury, but according to a detective, David Fugit, they would have ended up suppressing exculpatory information as well, trying to secure a conviction for this freaking, you know, police officers for putting down a jihadist, which is madness. And something I want to talk to you about as well when this comes up, we got about 50 seconds left before we got to go to a break. But, you know, in the next segment, and I appreciate your time, what I actually want to talk to you about, because I see, you know, you brought up shaping operations. You just made me realize, having a fellow Green Beret on here, I can actually talk to you about the DA doing shaping operations. Presenting Absolutely. False information in media releases that are securing these convictions and these indictments of these officers. Do you feel like that's taking place as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the district attorney's office has a megaphone. Every time he gets in front of the media, they cover whatever he's saying, whatever he's talking about. And because of that, it's impacting juries that come into the court and jury selection.
Jeez. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you guys for joining us. Doug, we're going to be right back, and I look forward to the next conversation we're about to have.
You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I shout out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Gentlemen, welcome back to American Girl. I'm Matt Tardio. We got Brianna. She'll be in the studio in the next hour. She's racing in to get to you guys. But in the meantime, we have been covering this corrupt district attorney down in Austin, Texas, and the three police officers, the heroes that ended up putting down an Islamic jihadist that were shooting up a bar district, killing multiple people, wounding multiple this last weekend, are worried that they're going to end up facing a grand jury. And what we've been going over the last hour in the last segment of the show was how ridiculous this district attorney is when it goes down to just wanting to indict every single police officer he can get his hands on, because that's what he ran on. And in his liberal utopia, that's just what you can do. And apparently, underneath this district attorney's reign, you can just forget about what the law actually says. And to help bring some grab to this situation, I'm being joined by Douglas O'Connell. He is a retired special forces officer. Colonel, in fact, retired colonel, and the defense attorney for those three officers. Sir, thank you and welcome back.
Good to be with you.
All right, sir. So let's talk about this. You know, when I was in law enforcement, we pay our dues to the union, right? And then in cases like this, you know, they will front for that defense attorney. Is that how you came about this particular case?
Yeah, exactly. I have a long-standing relationship with the Austin Police Association. I represent their officers. I got to tell you, I'm incredibly flattered. You know, the cops are in the courthouse every day. They know which attorneys really fight for their clients. And the fact that they've picked me and my team to represent them is wildly flattering to me. It's an honor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a true testament, as a matter of fact, to have an entire police department get behind you, especially when you have a district attorney's office that is like this corrupt. And I can't even imagine what a pain in the butt that is for, you know, them to go about prosecuting cases and whatnot over there. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about why those officers are so concerned. I don't know if you were able to listen to the entire show, but I went over a lot of the issues that I have with this particular DA. A lot of problems, witness tampering, you know, over 20 indictments, not a single one actually ended up getting convicted, except for the one that we just talked about where the guy ends up getting acquitted. And when we have the detective that came out that said they are suppressing exculpatory information inside of the grand juries, that's of great concern to me. And the detective even accused the DA's office of witness tampering.
Absolutely. And what you may not know, that particular homicide detective is legendary within the Austin Police Department. He served for, I want to say, 27 years. 17 of that was as a homicide detective. He had the highest closure rate in the department. He's a fabulous detective. After Garza tampered with him as a witness, he recognized that he couldn't function any longer as an Austin detective, and he retired, unfortunately. And he's now still serving as a law enforcement officer at the Attorney General's office.
That is absolutely insane. That's nuts. In a case like this, where you have him write an affidavit that, I mean, it certainly appears to me like there'd be plenty of evidence to support this, like inculpatory evidence to support witness tampering. Who's looking into that? Has anybody looked into it?
No, we tried to get the Texas Rangers to look at it. But when you call the Texas Rangers and say, hey, I want to report a crime, it involves lawyers, their answer is you have to send that to your local district attorney, have them refer it to us. You can't refer directly to us. And so I was left in a situation of, you got to be kidding me. I'm trying to give you information about a crime that the district attorney perpetrated, and you're telling me the district attorney has to refer it to you? It was insanity.
Yeah, so the district attorney, the one who is underneath the crime, it should be is the one that's supposed to be referring it over to them. And then the crazy part is, like, where's the FBI on this? Where's the Department of Justice looking into this guy? Because he's been running rogue. And this was the Daniel Perry indictment. I mean, this was a huge deal. Governor Abbott ended up overturning it. Governor Abbott even came out yesterday in response to what you put out and said that he is going to maintain, he gets the final say in this. So good on him for doing that. I mean, I'm questioning, like, when is he gonna put a wheel up this district attorney's butt? You know what I mean? Like, when is that gonna actually happen? So,
Well,
and I think it's, go ahead.
you mentioned Daniel Perry. What you may not realize is this month we have to go back and have another trial on Daniel Perry. When he was
What?
indicted the first time, the grand jury returned two indictments. The second indictment was for deadly conduct, meaning texting while driving, right-hand turn without coming to a complete stop in his car, and driving into the mob. And so we have to have another trial, and it's going to kick off on March 23rd.
Holy crap. So this trial isn't even about shooting the guy in self-defense. This is just going down to his driving, going into the mob.
Traffic
So,
violations cobbled together to try to make an offense.
are they making any offenses about any of the people that were standing out in the street? Are they grabbing those people and throwing up indictments their way? I mean, to me, that seems like, law enforcement officers, we have what's called officer-induced jeopardy, where you don't get to stand in front of a motor vehicle and then claim that somebody tried to run you over and then shoot him in the face. You can't do that. So what about these protesters or these rioters really standing in the middle of the streets that he ended up driving into? Have they been
All
looking
their
for
cases,
charges on any of those people?
all those cases were dismissed.
Oh, imagine that. Simple. Why wouldn't you dismiss those? Because the DA has what? Prosecutorial discretion, right? You're a former prosecutor, are you not, sir?
I was an assistant county attorney here doing misdemeanors. Then I was an assistant DA, and then I went to the U.S. Attorney's Office where I was a federal prosecutor before entering private practice.
I mean, just as, just on your opinion as a former prosecutor, how do you feel about the practices of this particular district attorney's office?
I don't agree with much of what they do. I personally don't feel like we should spend a lot of time and resources prosecuting, say, marijuana charges, unless it's a gigantic quantity or you're selling to children. But if you're smoking pot in your own house, not bothering anybody, I don't really want to spend, I don't think my tax dollars should be spent messing with something like that. And instead, we should focus on violent criminals.
Yeah, and I agree with that as a constitutionalist. It was something that, me when I was in law enforcement, whatever you do, your own body, I could really care less. But once you start talking about trafficking drugs, once you start talking about selling to children, once you start about doing those things, you start working your way into human trafficking and actual persons' crimes. Like, they're all involved in that network. I completely and totally agree with you. Now, the district attorney, Jose Garza, decided it would be a good idea to write the Biden DOJ, from what I found, and request that they investigate the Austin Police Department for patterns of malpractice and mispractice. Do you think it's time to have the Trump DOJ look into this particular district attorney's office for their malpractice?
I think that'd be great. Unfortunately, I don't currently have a lot of confidence in the Trump DOJ. I don't see a lot of effort being waged in that department. I'm frustrated about a lot of different things, including the whole the whole lack of an investigation about Epstein that bothers me.
Sure. Yeah. The entire Epstein thing kind of ticks me off. And it seems to me that they're more about, like, their big political wins that they can get right now, as far as thing goes, and blowing things way out of proportion in some cases. And I voted for the guy. you know, and, but I'm still very, very critical, you know, as I'm sure you are. We're critical thinkers, you know, that's just what we do. It's like you're psychologically screened to actually look at things and go, I can set my bias aside and decide whether or not this is right or whether or not this is wrong. And I believe in the criminal justice system. I also know that there's corrupt cops that do exist. I've seen it firsthand, but at the same time, this to me seems like a very big issue. You know, you're talking about Austin and Travis County. This is a massive area in Texas. Millions of people, right? Yeah. That's who this man is in charge of.
Yeah. And now, so keep in mind, he was reelected.
Right.
And
well,
unless something changes drastically, I think he can stay in office as long as he wants.
Well, right. But, you know, I have, you know, of the opinion, right, when it comes down to this, that suppressing exculpatory information, I understand grand juries are different than criminal trials, but what that detective was accusing him of was not just, you know, suppressing the information. It was legitimate witness tampering. Law enforcement officers, when they go to speak as witnesses on these trials, they're up there as witnesses for a reason. And law enforcement officers in their reports and in their witness statements and everything that they end up giving are required by law to give exculpatory information, not just the information that could get people convicted. And so him suppressing that, in my, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's a massive problem. But one thing to keep in mind is in Texas, prosecutors don't have a legal obligation to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury. And one of the good things that came out of that tweet going viral is we're going to be talking with some legislators about grand jury reform.
Yeah. I mean, it needs to happen. It absolutely needs to happen before, you know, you have a rogue district attorney like this present a bunch of, you know, misleading statements and misleading evidence that would lead people to believe that they have probable cause to indict this person. And it's a shame that it's happening to our law enforcement officers. It's a damn shame. Are you comfortable speaking about Wren at all? And breaking
to some
that
degree,
down
sure. I'm not the real experts are the guys at Law Enforcement Legal Defense Foundation. They compiled a massive report that's well researched and full of citations, and so all their analysis is backed up by solid research. But I'm happy to talk to some degree.
That'd be great. So what I can find is that, you know, they are basically filled with like prior public defenders that are all about trying to like reform the system and get people off from charges like we were just talking about. Oh, they don't need to go to jail if they're a violent offender. Maybe they just need, you know, special treatment, things of that nature. So for some reason, they are all about helping out the people that are actually out there committing crimes. But when it comes to their agreement with the district attorney's office, it seems like they're about screwing over law enforcement.
Oh, I think they're very anti-law enforcement. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, it's my personal opinion that all the decisions being made in Travis County regarding law enforcement prosecutions are really being made by Wren Collective. They are directing actions to the district attorney's office.
Do we think that they are providing him with campaign funding, kickbacks, things of that nature in order to kind of control him? Or do we think it's just this radical ideology that's got them, you know, woven together in this manner?
Yeah, I believe what happens is they go out and find progressive candidates. They provide campaign donations and help get him elected. And I believe in the case of Jose Garza, the money goes back to George Soros. And so they help get a guy elected, and then he's obligated contractually to follow their lead and to hitch his wagon to their organization. And if he fails to comply with what they want, they will go out and find a different candidate to run against Garza.
Yeah. We're, of course, George Soros' name gets dropped as we start talking about corruption, right? We were talking earlier about, you know, being prior Green Berets and knowing how you shape the battlefield with information operations leading into it. And I feel like this is one of those times that absolutely happened down over in Austin. the vast majority of those indictments, at least from what I was able to find, that he had brought against those 20-something odd officers, were all due to use of force allegations during the George Floyd riots down there in Austin, and the shooting that had to do with that Austin PD officer that we talked about. He actually mentioned it in his letter to the Biden DOJ, specifically on what they wanted them to look into. And when he started his campaign, it certainly appeared as if he was running on the premise that he was going to go after, like corruption in law enforcement and transparency. And so when I start thinking about shaping the battlefield, that's what that kind of looks like to me. And you're prepping this as you're going into office. Your entire jury pool is essentially tainted because this guy is putting out all this information. And clearly the people inside Travis County agreed with him, ended up electing him if the elections weren't corrupt, and end up electing this man. And then his second day in office, he starts announcing that he's going to be going after these guys. And then less than a month later, cases before a grand jury. That doesn't seem like enough time to me to be able to properly look into this. It seems kind of like a targeted execution. And it almost seems like those guys are victims of a corrupt criminal justice system.
I think you're right. He, as a candidate, said that he would target Chris Taylor, Officer Chris Taylor, and then two Williamson County deputies that were involved with in a chase that ended in Travis County. And the chase ended because the guy that they were pursuing had a heart attack and died. And so he indicted the officers. He, as a candidate, before he'd ever seen a case file, decided those officers were guilty and ran on a platform of prosecuting them. And sure enough, he did. We talked about Chris Taylor's case being acquitted at Court of Appeals. We tried the Williamson County deputies, and they were acquitted at trial.
Because the driver had a heart
attack. I guess I should mention that during the Williamson County deputies' trial, we discovered that they had hidden that evidence from us, and the court actually sanctioned the district attorney's office for hiding evidence.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that, please, sir? Did you just say they were hiding evidence? Exculpatory nature, yes. I'm assuming.
Yes. So the decedent had an active warrant out for him, and they failed to turn that over to the defense, which was required by law. And so we brought that to the court's attention. The judge sanctioned the district attorney's office for failing to turn that evidence over.
And were they trying to use fruit of the poisonous tree to go after these officers that they didn't have a reason to be going after them in the first place? Is that what they were trying to claim?
They were claiming, no, not really. They were claiming that, the officers, once the vehicle stopped and they were trying to take him into custody and he was resisting, they were trying to claim that they caused the death. That by tasing him and struggling with him to get him into handcuffs, somehow that was a crime.
That is asinine.
Yeah. That's you Google Javier Ambler, that's the case I'm talking about. That's the decedent's name.
Okay, so now we've got on the record during the show two cases of evidence being suppressed by the DA's office, witness tampering, etc. And the court actually, you said, found that they did suppress that evidence, that they didn't turn it over, that they're hiding it. Is that's correct? So now we've got two different cases here, and this guy's still running rogue. What is the end to this, sir? Like, how do we solve this problem?
I think, the resolution comes at the ballot box, unfortunately. And so we're going to be living with this DA for a minimum of two more years. And then hopefully some qualified candidate that has common sense emerges and is able to be competitive in that election.
So I'm going to ask you for your professional opinion, seeing how you were a prior prosecutor, both at the state and federal level, right? Or county and federal level. Have you, in your professional opinion, and it's okay if you don't want to answer the question, I understand why, but in your professional opinion, do you think that there is probable cause at this time to arrest the DA on any charges as far as this corruption goes that we're talking about? And if so, who would be the authority over that?
Yeah, so I'm not aware of anything at the moment, but there may be something that emerges in the future that would rise to the level of criminal conduct. But, you know, whether or not it would be so persuasive to get the federal authorities interested, I don't know.
Well, I would think that there's a bare minimum of some reasonable suspicion here for them to at least open up a case and start looking into this guy and figure out what's actually going on. And then if they end up coming across it, then okay. I mean, this district attorney himself, he said that he believes in the rule of law.
And I can tell you that that may have already happened and we'd never know about it because the feds, FBI, DOJ, they don't talk about investigations that are ongoing almost never.
Yeah, that's true, but it certainly seems like you brought it before that the Trump admin is kind of busy dealing with a bunch of other things right now that they really, I think, unless it's a big, you know, win over on social media, like how you ended up coming out, making that tweet, gets 2-point-something million views. And all of the sudden we've got it over on Fox News. We've got it on local news. We've got it everywhere. And so maybe in this case where we have an accusation from a very reputable individual, that he conducted witness tampering and directed his office to conduct witness tampering. That to me seems like there should be a huge investigation opened up by either, you know, the FBI or the DOJ.
I agree. But
that seems like criminal behavior.
I'm skeptical that we'll see that happen, as frustrating as it is.
Do you think that this man is going to continue to go after the police department? Do the officers feel like they're going to continue to get brought before grand juries on baseless cases? Is there a huge fear going around of the Austin police right now?
So, you know, that's a good question for the Austin Police Association, but for the officers I talk to, absolutely. You know, you're former cop. I think these guys, when they get dispatched to a call with somebody with a gun or some violent actors in the middle of committing a crime and they have to rush there, they got to be thinking that, you know, this could turn out with me being killed or me being indicted. And, you know, that's got to be stressful and it's got to add a layer of anxiety on what is already a very difficult job.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, sir, I want to thank you for coming in and giving your time. I know me as a prior law enforcement officer, I look at this and I'd be scared as hell. I mean, you're pretty much martyring yourself every time you respond to a man with a gun or man with a knife call going over there, depending on how the situation is going to turn out. Where can people find you? Maybe if there's officers within APD or within the local area that would like your assistance, where can they get a hold of you, sir?
Yeah, so our law firm website is O'ConnellWest.com, and our direct dial phone number is 512-547-7265. We don't just represent officers, we represent citizens accused of crimes as well.
Yeah, and in that district, or I'm sorry, in that county, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of them. Well, sir, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you for stopping in, sir. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be taking phone calls from you. So start dialing right now. I want to hear what you guys have to think about all this evidence that we just threw out there.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews, you've seen the 5-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. I am Matt Tardio, filling in for you guys. If you guys like what I presented for you, go follow me over on X at AngerTab. I originally said that we're going to do some call-ins, but it turns out that Tim Walz and his attorney general are over at the House Oversight Committee looking into Minnesota fraud. And we are going to be going to that live in just a sec, right after I tell you guys that Brianna is currently racing her way into the studio with Tommy Robinson. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for that interview because it is going to be a good one. It is going to be great. I promise you that. You're not going to want to miss it. All right, let's go ahead and go over to the House Oversight hearing on Tim Walz and his fraud.
Attorney General Ellison, you stated in your opening statement that you sort of stated that your office only has direct jurisdiction over Medicaid fraud. Did you say that in your opening statement? Okay, well, you seem to indicate that you don't have, like, criminal authority, but you do, don't you? Under your own law, you have an authority. If the county district attorney asks you to get involved, or if the governor asks you to get involved, then your office can take lead on any criminal investigation, specifically if you have particular staffing and capabilities within your office, because it's statewide, to look into organized crime. Is that not correct? Okay, so you have the authority to lead your state's effort to respond to this massive fraud at the state level from within the healthcare realm where government money is being stolen at very, very high levels, unprecedented levels in your state. Are you leading that effort for the state of Minnesota? You're addressing it. Are you leading it? Are you leading the effort?
We are leading the effort to prosecute Medicaid fraud in Minnesota.
I'm not talking about Medicaid fraud. Don't hide behind that. You have the authority to prosecute anything criminally that the governor asks you to. And this thing is big. I'm giving you an opportunity, sir. Are you leading the criminal investigative effort into this massive fraud across the board in the healthcare spectrum in the state of Minnesota or not?
We are following the law. And
you are not leading. You're not leading. I'm going to say, Mr. Chairman, that the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota should resign. I yield.
Thank you. Gentleman yields back. Before I recognize Mr. Frost, I want to, Mr. Walkinshaw, you were right. She's not testifying in Homeland Security. Kristi Noem's testifying in Judiciary. I knew she was here somewhere today. So that was, you were right. I misstated the wrong committee. Chair now recognizes Mr. Frost from Florida.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and I have unanimous consent called Fraud Focus. Why is Trump granting clemency to convicted fraudsters?
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you all for being here. The whole world has witnessed unprecedented and extreme immigration enforcement tactics this year in Minnesota. After the murder of Renee Nicole Good and before the murder of Alex Pretty, President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social that, quote, the day of reckoning and retribution is coming. Governor Walz, the dictionary defines retribution as punishment inflicted on someone as vengeance for a wrong or criminal act. Based on what we've seen play out in Minneapolis, what is the problem with the President of the United States directing agents to carry out retribution?
Well, yeah, thank you. And this is certainly troubling because under the guise of fraud, which we all want to tackle, we were subject to, as you saw, the largest invasion of a state by the federal government. I don't know, in certainly any of our lifetimes. And that infliction, to me, we're trying to figure it out. Look, we'll acknowledge and we're fixing it in Minnesota, but I'm telling you, each year you're going to go back to your state. And if some of you think you want to be governor, you're going to deal with this. And these folks keep moving. The problem is, Congressman, this was about retribution. This was about singling out Minnesota. And I think I'm going to just name it. I think it's singling out because our state works and it provides things for people. And we care and we mind our own business and we respect our neighbors. And
right. Yeah. Of course, Tim Walz is going to have issues when it comes down to retribution, because God forbid the Trump DOJ actually enforced the law. He called it an invasion of his state, an invasion. Last I checked, the only thing your state's been invaded by is illegal immigrants. You can't invade a state that you have a lawful right to be in as a federal agent. And the only reason you have so many illegal immigrants in there is because you allowed them in with your sanctuary city policies. And then we can add on top of that, throwing out the slanderous language of murder over inside the halls of Congress. Well, those people weren't murdered. They were violent criminals. Violent criminals. And everything that they are accusing this law enforcement of doing is 1,000% backed by case law and self-defense laws. It's absolutely preposterous. Of course, Tim Walz is going to end up throwing up a freaking softball pitch and they're going to use it as an example to do whatever the hell they want. Of course. This is like bombing Iran and ignoring the Epstein files, right? Like, why talk about fraud when we can talk about an invasion of our state, for crying out loud? Oh, my Lord. All right, let's go back into the madness.
Going on in Minnesota is because of our Constitution and the right to be able to record law enforcement and federal agents. Those videos and the videotapes have been in part the reason why we know what's going on. Trump administration officials have suggested that observing or identifying federal agents is, quote, doxing or, quote, assault. We know federal agents have followed observers to their homes. We know protesters have been pepper sprayed. We know people have been violently detained who were filming them without bystanders having cameras who know how the murders of Renee Nicole Good and Alex Pretty by ICE agents would have been handled by this administration. They have already tried to lie about these murders, even with footage. After Alex Preti was murdered, Stephen Miller said he was, quote, a domestic terrorist who tried to, quote, assassinate federal law enforcement. Kristi Noem said that he committed an act of domestic terrorism, and the president of the United States said that he was an agitator and perhaps an insurrectionist.
Yeah, Reverend, I'm just going to go ahead and respond to that,
too. The last thing I want to get to that I think...
Yeah, of course he's labeled as a domestic terrorist. Let's talk about terrorism and what the actual definition of terrorism is. I might know this as a counterterrorism expert. Using fear, intimidation, coercion, or control to push a political or ideological agenda. What the hell do you think is going on the streets of Minneapolis right now? They're pushing their own political and ideological agenda on the streets out there, and they are using fear and intimidation in order to do it. We watched it happen. Not just with law enforcement officials on the ground out there, but with all of the reporters out there. To hell with the left-leaning ones, for crying out loud. They're going to be nice to them, and they're going to blow their whistles. They're going to do whatever they want. But he was a domestic terrorist. Period. Alex Preti. Rene Good. Same thing. You're going after, you're chasing down these law enforcement officers, you're obstructing justice, and then you take a freaking multiple thousand-pound automobile and you wield it in the direction of law enforcement. Why do you think they're doing that? Do you think they're doing that so that everybody can sit back? No, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing it for fear and intimidation to push their political and or ideological agenda. And this is the same type of crap that we were just talking about going on down over inside of Travis County with the district attorney down there. Using skirting laws, hiding, suppressing evidence to push their political and ideological agenda. In my opinion, that's domestic terrorism. Only it's coming from the government. That's oppression. The people of Austin are being oppressed. That's the crazy part about all this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to call in. We're going to be taking calls here in the next, 5 to 10 minutes. We're going to keep listening to this hearing. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead, call in. Let's go back over and start listening back to the madness that's June taking 30th, place in the halls of Congress.
Without objection, so ordered. Chair now recognizes Ms. Mace from South Carolina.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being here today. Governor Walz and Attorney General Ellison, you have presided over one of the worst government fraud scandals in American history. This was money intended to feed hungry children, help kids with autism, provide food and shelter and health care to the needy, and more. You both allowed billions in these American taxpayer dollars to be pillaged and plundered by Somali pirates. You knew this was happening. You chose to do nothing about it, and in some cases, you even enabled it. Attorney General Ellison, you even profited from this fraud by taking campaign donations from these Somalians after pledging to help quash the investigation into them. I find your behavior despicable. My questions this morning, my first go to Governor Walz, and I hope you learned some lessons from your last hearing with me on the Oversight Committee. Have you learned anything since
then? I did, that if I didn't speak up, two of my people would be dead, Congresswoman, and I warned you.
Okay, Ms. Governor Walz, what is a woman? Have you learned that lesson? Do you know what a woman is?
I'm the governor of Minnesota, Congressman.
You know,
I'm not here
is
to be your prop for your obsession.
So if you can't define what a woman is, you certainly can't define what fraud is. If you can't even define what a woman is, you can't define fraud. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2017, Governor?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, Congressman.
Did you prepare for this hearing today?
I take Congress seriously.
And you've seen the numbers about autism fraud in Minnesota. So we're going to do some Minnesota math with you today, okay? Are you ready? How much money was spent on 2017 for autism in Minnesota? How much?
I don't know. I wasn't the governor.
Okay. Did you not just say that you prepared for this hearing today? $1 million, okay? A quick Google search or using your AI could tell you $1 million was spent. How much money was spent on autism in Minnesota in 2024?
I don't have the number in front of me. As
were you
governor
in 2024?
I was, but I'm not the
head of the DHS. Your excuse before that you didn't know what 2017 autism numbers were because you were not governor, and today you can't answer the numbers about 2024 as governor, and you still said you prepared for this hearing today. It's unbelievable. $343 million. Was spent in 2024. What percent increase is that from 1 million to 343 million? What percentage increase is that?
I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell me.
Are you governor of Minnesota or not?
Yes, I am. I'm not a governor of South Carolina,
you can sure as hell bet that I'm going to know the math. The math is 34,200% increase, an increase of 343 times what it was in this time period. Do you know the number of children in Minnesota?
I know that Minnesota ranked as a top three state for children in the last year.
What is the total population in Minnesota?
5.7 million.
Okay. What is the total population of children in Minnesota?
I don't have the number in front of me right now.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I know 400,000 were cut out of health care last week by the actions you made.
Are you governor of Minnesota?
I am.
And you don't know the number of children residing in Minnesota?
I don't have the specific number. 5.7 million.
That's your total population.
What is your age? What is the age? 0 to 5? 0 to 19?
You have approximately 1.2 million children in Minnesota.
What
age? I'm not even governor of South Carolina. Our population in South Carolina is 5.5 million. We have approximately 1.1 million children under the age of 18 in my home state of South Carolina, okay? As governor, I expect you to know this information. Thank God you're not vice president of the United States. Do you know approximately how many children in Minnesota are autistic or on the spectrum?
No, I don't have that number.
Okay. Well, if you take the CDC's roughly 1 in 36 kids are on the spectrum, we're talking about approximately 33,000 kids. In South Carolina, it's about 31,000 or so. What is, do you know what this is per child spending-wise in the fraud for autistic kids in Minnesota?
Again, I'm not here to be your prop. Go ahead and tell
us. This isn't, is doing Minnesota math a prop? This is math. We're talking about fraud.
Minnesota ranks at the top. Where does South Carolina rank?
We're talking about money.
Where does South Carolina children rank on healthiness?
These are my questions for you. It doesn't go the other way around unless we're debating on the debate stage. And we're not.
If you're asking questions about being governor, it does.
I'm asking you questions about being governor of Minnesota, which you can't answer. This is basic math.
Do you guys have anybody calling?
And you can't even answer. Do you even care about kids in Minnesota?
They rank near the top in every category. My children are fed. My children are housed. My children have health care.
My children getting the services they need in Minnesota.
My children have the best schools.
No, you don't. Mr. Chairman, I yield back. Mr. Chairman.
The lady yields back.
Mr. Chairman.
Who's, Ms. Bobert? Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Ms. Mace.
May I make my two motions?
Proceed.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee issue a subpoena to the Honorable Pamela Jo Bondi to appear before the committee for a deposition regarding the department's handling of the investigation of Jeffrey Epstein and his associates and compliance with the Epstein Files Transparency Act.
A motion has been made. The committee will hold this motion in abeyance until the end of today's hearing. The committee will now proceed with today's hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee issue a subpoena to the Office of Congressional Workplace Rights for the awards and settlements paid pursuant to Section 415 of the Congressional Accountability Act prior to December 12, 2018, with only redactions allowable for the personally identifiable information of victims, alleged victims, and witnesses. Thank you, ma'am.
A motion has been made. The committee will hold this motion in abeyance until the end of today's hearing.
Mr. Chairman, I seek unanimous consent.
Mr. Chairman, can I have one thing before?
Chair recognizes the ranking member.
Thank you. No, we'd just like to see Mrs. Mace's motions in writing, which would be great.
Okay. Now, before I recognize Ms. Lee, do you have Ms. Randall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I ask unanimous consent to enter into the record of December 11th, 2025 article from The Guardian titled "Somalis Are the Scapegoat. Fear Rises as Trump Targets Minneapolis Community," which describes the administration's xenophobic attacks.
That objection's ordered. Chair recognizes Ms. Lee from Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the past few months, Democrats on this committee and in the Senate have been holding hearings on the unconstitutional actions of the Trump administration. So we've heard from, in that time, whistleblowers, industry experts, and survivors of abuses of federal agents. They spoke about warrantless searches that they have been subjected to, including federal agents bursting into their homes with guns. They spoke about being shot at and dragged out of their cars, and then, you know, being made to look like they were actually the perpetrators. They spoke about federal agents' use of masks and unmarked vehicles, and the efforts of these agents to hide their identity to escape any sort of accountability. And we heard from the brother of Renee Good, who was murdered by ICE agents in Minneapolis. That is what oversight looks like. Not two hearings on fraud in one single state, which it's not even the worst instance of fraud out there, though we all here agree that we should target fraud. Republicans have dragged Governor Walz in again to demonize and target his state because he is a Democratic governor and he is implementing Democratic policies.
I think I'm ready to jump in on this one, and we'll go to Josh first. Let me know when I'm good.
Just like a random guy trying to get into building.
I think I'm ready to jump back in and comment on this madness, and then we'll take a couple calls, and then I should be able to close out.
Been vilified and made to feel unsafe. And federal benefits are being cut to Minnesota and other Democrat-led states.
Trump and his administration for the love of God, for the love of God, did she just seriously accuse people of conducting warrantless searches? Does this woman who's sitting here on the House Oversight Committee that just legitimately said that their job is the Oversight Committee, and she doesn't even know that law enforcement officers can, in fact, conduct warrantless searches based on probable cause, based on exigency, based on a lot of different reasons, they can conduct warrantless searches and seizures. They can also enter your home based on exigency. There's lots of different reasons for that to actually go down. And yet these people are the ones that are on our House Oversight Committee that are grilling our freaking government. Like, no wonder our government's screwed. No wonder we have all, like, billions of dollars worth of fraud going into Minnesota. No wonder the people that are supposed to be in charge of oversight don't even know what the hell they're talking about when they're sitting up there complaining about everything, misclassifying everything under the sun. It's absurd. It's nuts. I'm over it. I'm over, like, the mischaracterization, over-inflammatory statements. Like, when the hell are they going to get anything done in our government? What are they going to actually pass laws that we care about, for crying out loud? Clearly, Tim Walz is incompetent. Freaking get rid of him. Bring him up on charges or call it a day. But stop wasting our taxpayer money on a bunch of bullshit because we have much better things to do with our time. We have a war going on. Six Americans have been killed. We have people down in Austin that are being oppressed. We have a massive invasion of our border. The last time I was on here, I think it was hosting War Room. I ended up talking about how the U.S. border inside of California was completely and totally unsecure. That there was actually uniformed members, or at least what appeared to be uniformed members of the Mexican military crossing the southern border into California. Corey from the GOAT Initiative ended up coming on here and talking to us about it. Provided me with the camera footage, but we had to not look into it any further and not talk about it any further because DHS was launching an investigation. That seems to me to be like a much bigger problem. I don't think the American people need any more convincing that Tim Walz is retarded. I think the American people need more convincing that our government is actually doing what it's supposed to do, especially because it just continuously gets shut down. Got Josh from North Carolina on the phone. I want to bring him in, get his comments on the situation. Josh, go ahead, sir.
Oh, man, I just love to listen to you, man. You're hilarious, bro. Tim Walz is retarded. Let's just all agree on that. But for real, when he started to talk, I thought he was kind of snitching on the federal government as far as Biden regime goes. Like, he was talking about the invasion. My thought went straight to the illegal immigration invasion. I thought it was like, oh, talking about them that brought in, like his sanctuary city policies. Like, well, like, it wasn't them that printed those maps. That's what the point that came to mind when I thought heard it. Like, it was the Red Cross maps, if I do believe. Like, this thing was an invasion, like, on a massive scale. He's trying to, like, dance around it, man, but we're all too smart for that. But I think what you were saying earlier with your story is what I really wanted to call in about is, like, a very valid question you kind of asked is, what do we the people do when evil people do, in fact, weasel their way into the seats that we hope prosecute evil people? What do we do when that is compromised? What, like, is there a plan? Like, we need to know that question just as a civil matter, actually. And I'll go to the next caller and leave it at that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like, you know, and traditionally, to answer your question, sir, appreciate you calling in. You know, traditionally, what you end up doing is you have, you know, oversight that actually looks into it, either the Federal Bureau of Investigations, the DOJ, or like that attorney had brought up, Mr. O'Connell, had he said that they had, like, reached out to the Texas Rangers. But the problem is that the person being accused of the crime, the district attorney's office for Travis County, is the one that's supposed to refer it to the Texas Rangers. And so they're stuck in this loop of retardation and nobody's doing anything about it. Freaking waste of time. James from Indiana is on the line as well. He wants to talk to us about some corruption. James, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm glad you're covering the corruption of the DA's office. This is a national problem. I mean, in Indiana, a while back, you know, there was an article. There was an article that came out. It was called "Prosecutors Accuse One Another." The U.S. Attorney's Office was rigging cases to put people on death row. That is how corrupt this is. Not only are they not getting warrants, they're just going. They'll just go into people's accounts and change and alter stuff. You have problems with the Inspector General's office that Trump fired a lot of. They put out statements in Indiana targeting veterans for speaking out. And you also, if you look at Sound Investigations that was targeting Alex Jones, they also said that they were looking into people that follow Alex Jones. So these court cases are rigged. They just target people in this country. It's absolutely disgusting, and something needs to change.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. And I just wrote down Indiana corruption targeting vets. That's one I haven't heard about. That's a quick way to piss me off. But you're absolutely correct when it goes down to this, and that you know, things absolutely need done about it. How are you about to have this level of corruption take place and nothing, literally nothing's being done? Literally.
And there's another big article to check out. It's called DOJ Gone Wild. That was actually put out by Fox. It's about the U.S. Attorney's Office committing crimes and it all getting pushed under the rug. I mean, you've had numerous problems with the Inspector General's office covering stuff up, illegally targeting people. There was an Inspector General's report of the U.S. Attorney's Office committing rapes, the CIA's committing rapes. I know a lot of them are probably false allegations because a lot of that comes out too. But a lot of it gets swept under the rug. But then, you know, they'll throw somebody in the corner smoking a joint in prison for so many years. It's just the two-tier justice system in this country is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, and it absolutely depends on where you end up getting charges brought against you. You know, like that grand jury reform that he's talking about that needs to take place over in Texas is a very serious problem. Grand juries themselves, in my opinion, are a pretty dang serious problem because there's no defense that's actually presented there. And it certainly seems like you are stacking your deck when it comes to jury selection, the jury pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they spend so long doing it. And when they put out this amount of false information, they can convince people before they even go into court. And then those people can lie and say, no, I've never heard anything about it. No, I would totally take it into consideration. Like, I want you to think about the amount of people that you cuss at driving down the street that you look at and you're like, that guy's retarded and that guy's retarded and that guy's retarded. How many people are you angry at on a daily basis driving down the street? That's your jury pool. Those are the people that are going to be judging you. Those ones, not the competent ones that figured out how to get out of your jury duty. Now, that's not everybody that goes on to jury duty. Some people feel as if it's their civic duty and they're going to go over and do it. But for crying out loud, I would not rather be judged by 12 a lot of the time. That's just absurd. People are stupid in this country. Got access to more information right now than Ronald Reagan did when he was president. Readily available to you. And yet we're so stupid. Can't even have a House Oversight Committee that knows what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of here. Brianna's coming up next, bringing in her special guest, Tommy Robinson. Get ready for that interview because it is going to be a good one. You're not going to want to miss it. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Peace, love, happiness. God bless. I'm out of here.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at TheAltarStore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.